Blog Talk Radio.
Dedicate our lives to this sport. We give, we do thousands of sit-ups in camp. We run hundreds of miles, you know, for the ones that take it serious. And we just dedicate ourselves fully to our craft, man. We watch tape. We attitude. We booty, and we go into that fight and to land on the line.
Minnesota basketball fans, the Living in Loserville podcast returns. I'm your host, Chris Carlson. My co-host, Aaron, will be joining us very shortly. Well, here we are on Selection Sunday, and the Gophers made it in. They made it in. They got off the bubble a while ago, obviously, winning 4 out of 5 games. They started the season really, really well, looking like a tourney team, had their ups, had their downs, had some downs, had some ups, but the way they closed strong, it's a great thing. It really is. We kind of needed that, right? We knew we had a team that was capable, and sure, they do have their issues, no doubt about it. But the Gophers made it in as a 10th seed. They almost, you know, played their self in too far. but yeah, 10th seed against Louisville. I know a lot of people, as far as the national stuff, are saying, oh, Louisville and Patino, and, you know, it means something, but not much that way. But anyway, we are back. It's been a little over a week, and we are happy to be back, especially when the Gophers are going dancing. We pretty much knew they were going dancing last Friday when we had our, last show because of that Purdue win. Then they beat Purdue again. What a great ending to the regular season in the Big Ten tournament, which is basically like very similar anyway, still kind of regular season. Now it is tourney time. So here we are. By the way, the Living in Loserville podcast, if this is your first time, you know, listening to it, it's all about Minnesota basketball. That's what it's all about. We're talking Timberwolves and we're talking Gophers. And obviously, you know, for obvious reasons, we're going to be talking a whole lot of Gophers. Are we going to talk a little about those Timberwolves, those Timber Puffs? Yeah, we'll get into it a little bit. Cat is still on fighter. You know, we do have a couple items there. It still seems like, you know, they can't beat a good team down the stretch of a game, or it's, you know, far and few between. But hey, that doesn't matter at this point. The Gophers made the tourney. Okay? So we're going to break it all down. Like I said, we're going to talk about, kind of recap the chunk of games there in the Big Ten tourney. Talk about, you know, we do have a little big man issue as far as off the bench. The depth right now, not that we were a deep team, but, you know, with Curry and now Stockman affected from some injuries here, I don't know what his deal is right now. Hopefully we can get him back. I'm happy. We're going to obviously preview the Louisville Cardinal game coming up, I believe, Thursday, the 7 against number 10, Louisville 7. Those Gophers number 10, which is a winnable game. It is a winnable game, no doubt about it. Not easy, though. Not crazy. I mean, Louisville kind of ended on a bad note then. If you look at their, you know, if you look at their schedule, just kind of going through it, but they had a tough ass schedule in general, though. I mean, they really, really did. So we're going to break it down for you and just kind of talk it through. Anyway, if this is your first time listening to the Living in Loserville podcast, it streams live right here on blogtalkradio.com/ropeadoperadio. It streams live. It archives right here. It's basically the headquarters. It's under the Ropeadope Radio podcast umbrella. We talk hoops, basketball, mostly college and pro, of course. I have a college basketball show as well that turns into an NBA playoff podcast mid-April, something around there. And then, you know, we, of course, talk boxing. But if you're looking for the Living in Loserville podcast under the Ropeadope Radio podcast, you can find it everywhere. iTunes, Spreaker, Stitcher, TuneIn. It's every place. We're also part of the Grueling Truth Sports Podcast Network, and that's basketball, football, baseball, boxing, everything in between. And the Grueling Truth Sports Podcast Network can be found there and everywhere. iTunes, Spreaker, the whole nine. But you can also go to iHeartRadio, and you can stream it on Spotify. Okay, so you can listen to the show there. Head on over to thegruelingtruth.net. That's thegruelingtruth.net. By the way, you can listen to a podcast right there. You can listen to this podcast right there. And while you're at it, you might as well read an article or two. And, I mean, while you're at it, you might as well hit the link, and it'll link you right to mybookie.ag. So I'm going to go ahead and bring in Aaron to the fold. What's going on, Aaron? How you doing on this Selection Sunday? The Gophers are in the tournament, man.
Yeah, man, it's been a while since we've talked a little basketball. A little bittersweet today. It was nice to see the Gophers make a little bit of run in the Big Ten tourney with a win over Penn State, which I thought they would do, but I wasn't sure about it. And then the Purdue game, I really was surprised that they pulled that one off. And so that was good to see. And then a really tired performance. They just looked really tired. Their shots were short. You know, they just didn't have a lot of jump. They weren't getting out to challenge jump shots. They were tired, really tired against Michigan. So I kind of give them a pass on that loss. And that's the sweet part. The bitter part is, like, why can't we have nice things? You know, I keep saying that in the sports world of Minnesota. Why can't we have nice things? We get the 10 seed. That's great. Probably should have been a 9 seed. Then we play Louisville. So let's just go ahead and get this over with, the Louisville Patino thing. You knew it was going to happen. That's how they were going to do it. They have some stick to that story like it's the best story in the world. So let's just go ahead, play Louisville, win or lose, and finally get rid of that so they don't keep scheduling us against Louisville every year. And then the second part is why? Why are we playing Michigan State possibly the game after Louisville? It used to be a rule you couldn't play a conference team in the second round, and magically they got rid of that rule, and we're the exception again. So there's where we are as far as I sit. Weather's nicer. Work's going fine. How are you?
I'm doing all right, man. I'm doing okay. Would they get eight in? Did they get eight of them in? Did the Big Ten get eight in? I think they got eight in.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that, but
I'm pretty sure it's eight. So at that point, it does get kind of tough to play a Big Ten opponent maybe in the second round. But, yeah, of course, right? Of course, just in the nick of time. And that's why I said, hey, dude, maybe we're playing ourselves too far into this thing, man. What's wrong with the 11 seed? We could play a 6, then we get a 3 maybe. You know what I mean? I don't mind sneaking in like that. I'll take a 12 and sneak in on a 5. And it is funny how that worked, though. It is funny how that worked.
Eventually they're going to give us that Louisville game. I mean, it's just they have to do it. So let's just get it over with. You know, maybe we won't have to face it every year, facing Louisville every national chance that we get.
Yeah, definitely. And so, yeah, they're, you know, when you look at them just on the surface, like I said, they closed the season kind of strangely. But, I mean, it's not going to be a – there's – I don't know. They had some ups and downs, just like us. Like I said, they didn't close necessarily good. If you look at really their – a lot of their February, they got a big win early, I remember, and they got a big win against North Carolina like in January. But I just think, you know, their non-conference – was pretty damn good. They actually beat Michigan State in the non-conference. They had a tough ass schedule in general. But before we get there, you know, we gotta backpedal a little bit. And we left off on Purdue. We were beating Purdue, and we mean the first time, right? March 5th. It felt like, okay, I think we're in. But let's get that Penn State victory, and we did. It was a hard-fought battle, no doubt about it. A lot of those games in this tournament, and really all year long, were definitely, you know, hard-fought games, no doubt about it. You know, 77-72 ended up getting the job done, and then it was Purdue again. And, man, when you start to add it up, like, our strength of schedule, no, it's not on Michigan State, it's not on North Carolina or Kentucky or some of these other programs in the non-conference. You know, our strength of schedule non-conference was just okay. Some of the teams that are normally good didn't necessarily turn out that way. But play Michigan three times in a year. You play Purdue three times, beat them two out of the three. They're the co-champs. Like I mentioned, Wisconsin twice. We talked about how it's Michigan State, and that was on the road. And by the way, we're going to have to probably play it. Well, we're going to play him if we ended up winning the first round. Knock on wood. Let's hope we win the first round. And, yeah, Maryland twice. Like, was it Iowa just once or twice? Like, dude, it's crazy how many teams we played not once but twice, man. That's pretty nuts. But anyway, looking at this rematch, and I'm thinking, okay, dude, we just needed that win. No big deal. I'm not going to sit here and get too bent out of shape. You know what I mean? Like, if we lose, we lose. You know, Penn State, they come in there pretty damn hot. Like, their February and early March, just in general, the way they closed, I think they were like 7-3 in the last 10 Big Ten games or something like that. So I was happy. It was like, all right, dude, now we're in. They can't deny us at all. And then we had Purdue. And, you know, in my mind, you know, the Minnesota thought process, it's in there. It just there's no way around it. It's Loserville. And you're thinking, well, there's no way we're going to beat Purdue. They're going to be pissed at us. You know what I mean? They would have had an outright all by themselves Big Ten championship because they beat Northwestern. They had just beaten the Gophers, they would have got it done. So I'm thinking, you know what? Who cares? No big deal. We got our win. We're in. I just want to be competitive. And competitive we were. Very, very competitive. Shot the ball 50%. Didn't hit a lot of threes, but didn't take many. They shot 24 threes, only hit six. We only hit five, but only took 13. So you're still at a 38% clip. We got to the line, doubled them up on the line. And although it was a grinded out game in the 75-73, both those games, the Penn State game and this game, kind of played out similar near the end where you're just like, we just got to just scrape by. We probably should have a couple more point lead, but just scrape by. Please hit this free throw. But down the stretch, we got the job done, dude. And, you know, Murphy, 27-8-4 assists. He was, you know, he only had one fall in the game, one turnover too, by the way. Coffey, you know, started kind of fast, didn't do a whole lot, then hit some buckets. McBrayer, you know, didn't do a whole lot, but managed to hit some free throws. You know, we didn't get anything off our bench, like literally. We got two assists. Well, we got a couple of blocks, but 0 points. But and that's obviously that might be a theme here going forward. But we made him take a lot of shots, especially Edwards, 11 points. Yeah, he finally had a bad game against us, 4 of 17, 1 of 8 from 3. So that was big. But to turn around and beat Purdue in a short amount of time like that, that was huge, dude. That was big, man. And to win, what, 4 out of 5 games? How'd you feel, you know, after knowing we're in by getting that Penn State victory, even though, like I said, we had to grind it out? And then to turn around and beat Purdue again, I was just – it's just like, great, you know, it's just extra gravy on top. You know what I mean? It's like – it's almost like having your cake and eating it too. Of course, that would have been winning the Big Ten title, but who cares? You know what I mean? That was pretty damn phenomenal. And it just it's a confidence booster in the team right now, in the program right now, and it's got to only help recruiting-wise too. We had recruits for that Purdue game at home. We saw what happened there. And just in general, you know, improving your – you know, going in on the right step in there, even if we're one and done or if we can just get one and then maybe get beat by Michigan State. But how do you feel overall with the Purdue game, the way we played, the way some of the seniors stood up? And if you look at the last 4 or 5 games with Coffey, he's just turned it on at the right time, right when we need him.
Yeah, Coffey has played well. And, you know, it seems like he's reached another level closing out the season. I thought he was more aggressive, kind of understands his game a little bit better, knows that he needs to get to the rack. He's not the greatest outside shooter. He's done a pretty good job playing the semi-quasi-point guard position. Like to push the ball a lot. So I think that's really good. Now, I differ with you a little bit. I wasn't so sure that we were in after that Penn State win. I kind of thought we needed another win just because, I mean, even how it played out, we're a 10 seed now. Had we lost to Purdue, we would have been maybe an 11 or out of the tournament maybe. So I thought we kind of needed that Purdue win. I wasn't sweating it out like you said. I thought, you know, that Penn State win was probably enough, but just to be sure, it was nice to have that win against Purdue. And I thought the whole team, that was the best game I've seen them play all year. Everybody was on point. Everybody was doing what they were supposed to do. Would have liked to see Washington get in there a little bit, see if he can get kind of ramped up for tournament time. I think we're going to need him. Sad that Mots went out. But it's just the way, you know, that tournament, I'm kind of glad we didn't beat Michigan just as seeding goes, because I don't want to be a higher seed than I think where we are, but I didn't like the way they lost to Michigan. I know we haven't gotten there yet, but it just, that was a really tired team, and they really got to do something about that format. Three games would have been 4 games in 4 days. I think it's been done before, but that seems like a pretty tough road if you're coming from a lower seed to win the Big Ten tournament.
Yeah, but that's just how it goes. You know, I mean, the Big East, not long ago when it was fully stacked, you had to go 5 games, 5 nights. You know what I mean? So it is what it is. I kind of like the format, and you get the buys or the double buys because you won more games. So really, you only got to go 3 in a row, and the other team's doing it. They're not traveling anywhere or anything like that. So at least it's fair. And, you know, you're right, though. I mean, by the time the Michigan game came around, they were just drained and didn't even have, you know, much off the bench in general. I mean, sure, they played more people off the bench because it was a blowout, but you could just see the way they started that game, the legs, you know what I mean? There wasn't much there. There wasn't much firing, I guess you could say, for it from the legs. You could just kind of tell, like, all right, dude, well, you know, it was a good run. You know, I guess if we played one more game, it would tire us out that much more. But yeah, I hear you. But I like the format. I think it's fair for everybody, you know, because during the year you had to earn your spot. But yeah, that the way they ended that half too, 19-4 run, stretching it to 38-19. That was tough, shooting 33%, 0-5. from behind the arc, hadn't even hit a three, and 1 for 6 from the line. So it was ugly. I kind of felt like something close to that was going to happen. Just off, you know, I mean, that's kind of how this stuff goes. You kind of just run out of, you know, steam or whatever. And I was kind of surprised how Michigan played today, considering the game right before us against Iowa. And then this game, they were like on a tear. I thought, oh, they're going to find their way. But then Michigan goes and lose to Michigan State. That's 3 times this year. You don't see that. But the last 5 games, Coffey shooting 51% from the field, which is huge. Basically 26 points. I say that because it's 25.8. 6 rebounds, 4 assists, a steal and a half, playing 41 minutes per game because of that overtime. You know what I mean? So this guy's, you know, we definitely had to go after him at times. Even Murphy, we had to take a couple of shots at. Not shots. It's not really shots. It's just, it's kind of true there. You know what I mean? And I'm kind of looking at the percentile just in general. For the 7 and 10, 61% of those, the time that the 7 wins, 62%, I should say, it's 61.8. So, it's not the 8-9-50-50, but then again, it's still there, no doubt about it. But yeah, I mean, can't say enough about Coffey. And like you said, I agree that Purdue game, actually kind of both those Purdue games were some of the best basketball we've seen, and just in the nick of time, no doubt about it. But yeah, that about wraps it up for me anyway, based off the tourney and whatnot. Any other comments as far as the tourney run goes, the 3 games and 3 nights?
No, I mean, that pretty much wraps it up. I think that you're right about, you know, how you earn your seeding. I mean, that's pretty obvious, but also a good point. And, you know, I guess if you're going to go from a 7th seed and make your way to winning the Big Ten tournament, I mean, you obviously have to be prepared for it as far as conditioning and stamina. So, you know, it's nobody's fault but your own that you got tired the 3rd game, but maybe keep that, you know, in your pocket for next time you go to make a run in that tournament.
Yeah, and I mean, we're the Purdue killers under Pitino too, dude. Like, it's pretty funny. Like, we got his number for some odd reason. I don't know why, but Purdue, you give us Purdue, even if they're really, like, these have been good teams under him too, like great teams, a lot of them. They've won the Big Ten before, and they almost outright won it this year. So it's kind of funny how that matches up, but just kind of heading into it, we talked about, you know, like you said, Motz, now we had Curry a handful of games ago go out. He's gone. We know that. He's not coming back till next year. Hopefully he doesn't have to have some long rehab process in the off season so he can spend the summer working out, getting in shape, getting all everything, you know, the rust off, and just in general, you know, he never really got to get his offensive game going too much. Still had some quality moments or whatever, but now, you know, it is rough to – we're not a deep team as it was, but it's going to be kind of a committee thing. You know what I mean? We're going to have to just kind of play this guy for 3-4 minutes, see what happens. Play this guy for 3-4 minutes and see what happens. They do have some – you know, their strength is a forward, you know, averaging 17-7. The other forward, I think it's Sutton, he's averaging like 10 and – actually, let me check. I know it's 10 point – yeah, 10-7. So they're kind of spread, I guess, you know, from – they got – let's see, they got – they're not really as high scoring as they normally are. They're not – you know, they obviously took some L's you know, with the issues they've had in the last couple of years there. So they're not the Louisville team of even a couple of years ago, obviously. But, man, when you look at the strength of the schedule, when you look at their bigs, Sutton and I think it's Noria, I mean, this is going to be a tough matchup, man, because you could tell when when they don't have bigs, you look back at that Maryland. That Maryland team is really, really young, by the way, but the bigs they had at Maryland. If you look at, like, they have that like long kind of toothpick type center at you know, for Purdue, but they don't necessarily have a ton of bigs, you know, and so we match up really well with that, and we can play really well with that. But heading into this matchup, man, the bigs, but, you know, the top two scorers are the bigs. I got to say, whether it's ball problems, this is a tough one based off the big situation, man. We're really going to have to hit some outside shots early so we can, you know, spread the floor a little bit so we can actually get there rather than it's all crowded out. And if there are already good, you know, good solid bigs anyway, that makes, you know, that crowds the lane anyway. But I'm kind of worried here, Aaron, about these bigs that they got, man. We haven't played great against the bigs, and now we might be down another guy who is hit or miss off the bench.
Yeah, we're going to need Mox. I mean, we're going to need him. Hopefully he can get back from his concussion. You know, he's got till what, Thursday? And he's had, you know, maybe a good solid week when all that time is done. You know, I kind of frame this game in a interesting way. There's, you know, they pretty much have a similar, if not almost the same record as we do. They're 20-13. I think we're 21-14 or something like that. The conference record, you know, they have a winning conference record. They're 10-8, but you know, the lower end of their conference isn't supposed to be as good as the Big Ten conference, but we're going to find out. This is a nice little middle of the conference matchup between the best two conferences, allegedly, in college basketball, the ACC and the Big Ten. So I think, yeah, it's on paper, it seems like a pretty good matchup. I'm not sure if Vegas has put out what they think about it, but I can't imagine it'd be more than maybe 4 or 5 points. I think that, you know, you're right about the bigs. They do have a couple of them, but we have a couple. We got Murphy. If we can get Mots, we can get fouls. Curry would be really nice to have, but we don't have them. And, you know, just to kind of give us some fouls, because I think late in tournament games you're down 5, you can start fouling, putting them on the line. That tends to happen a lot. So we got to have a lot of fouls to give. We do have, you know, Hurt could do that. Omersa could come in and do that. So I think we have, like, you know, guys that are 6'6 to 6'8 who can kind of handle it, but we don't have, besides Mots, a big guy, a big center to match up with theirs. And so I think we'll need Mots. I think he'll be able to play. I certainly hope so. But yeah, I'm not really worried because I don't know what to think about this game going in, actually, Chris. I haven't seen Louisville a lot this year, so I don't really know what they're looking at. I'll look a little bit more after the show and see what I think about it. But, you know, I feel like we got a 50-50 chance here, and, you know, that's nice. I'm just more concerned about if we win that second round.
Yeah. They've had some issues with leads. Now, when you're playing Duke, you're playing Duke. It is what it is. But they were up 23 points with like 9 minutes to go, a little over 9 minutes to go. And it was 35-10 down the stretch. And they lost a couple of other leads like that too. Right now, on the books, the betting odds, they are a plus or a minus 5. So they're a 5-point favorite. And, you know, that's probably a tad wide, but when you look at their, you're right about the records, very similar. But when you look at who they played, win, lose, or draw, you know, they had a pretty competitive game. I saw this early against Tennessee, lost that one, lost to Marquette in overtime. That was at, like, the, I think, an attorney. But then they turned around in overtime, beat Michigan State. They beat Seton Hall as well, who's a tourney team. And, you know, just beat Marquette, actually, in the semifinals. They played Indiana when Indiana, well, I guess you could say it was Indiana. Earlier in the year, Indiana had all these pretty solid wins, or at least a solid resume. And, you know, they lost them. They lost to them. I'm sorry. But that's another team. And then they're cross, you know, they had to play Kentucky, which they play every year. I mean, they had a tough schedule. Now, they started out on fire. They beat North Carolina. North Carolina was still kind of figuring themselves out at that point, but they blew them out. And then they went on a run, and you're thinking, oh, my gosh, they got like 6-7 wins. They're definitely ranked. Here we go. And then the L's started coming. Now, you know, they went on a, you know, you look at four games, they lost three of them. But I remember previewing this on the college show and writing a little bit about this, is those four teams at the time, number nine UNC, you know, number nine North Carolina, Virginia Tech, attorney team, Florida State, who got to the finals and got beat by Duke, and then it was Duke. So you can't really fault them for that. Then they finally got off the schneid and did beat Clemson, but then they lost to Syracuse. Boston College on the road, we did that as well. Lost to Virginia, no sweat there. You know, they just kind of – they beat Notre Dame twice, but not Notre Dame's nowhere near the team that they've been in, you know, recent years anyway. So this one's going to be a tough one, man. This one is going to be a tough one. So although I do get you, I mean, it is tough to – it's a tough matchup with Izzo in the second round, but we definitely – we can't look past this one. Now, they're not the best shooting team, but then, you know, nor are we. You're right, though. We need – what we need – we got the two bigs, you're right, but they just need to stay out of foul props. I think that's going to be big. And just hit a couple of outside shots in the first 10 minutes or so, just so they can fall, not to start out 0-7 from the three or something like that. And that'll help loosen it up. I know we're not going to come out and, you know, hit our first 5 or 6, but the outside shooting is going to be key, man. Like it always is, obviously. But I'm looking forward to this matchup, telling you right now. You think our ghosts get the W here, or we're gonna be gone fishing here in the first round?
Well, like I said, it's pretty hard to tell. I think you're right about it. If we can get shots outside, if Gabe can come out and hit a couple, you know, let his nerves not get to him. Now, they're only going down to Des Moines, so that shouldn't be, you know, too big of a problem. Should have a good following down there. But, yeah, if you really come out and you can get a couple outside shots and kind of muddy up the game, slow it down a little bit, keep it inside, you know, maybe give up some fouls if you got enough fouls to give. And, yeah, so, gosh, I don't know. You know, I'm going to go with, to answer your question, I'm going to go with the Gophers, simply just kind of a homer pick there, because it's such a – to me, it's just whoever plays well on that day. You know, I think it's a pretty good matchup. I think the teams are pretty evenly matched. If Louisville goes on a run, that could be tough because we're not really a good comeback team. We can come back from down 10 or something with enough time, but you go over that 10-point into the 15-point range, and it's really tough for us to get back if we're not shooting well just because we push the ball in so much. And if they make shots, we can't get out in transition. On the flip side of that is if they miss shots, we can get out in transition and really put a good run on them. It's going to be a game of runs, I think. And nerves I'm a little worried about. It's a young team. We got Oturu and Kelscher, who this will be their first tournament. But then, you know, to flip that over, we got Murphy, and I think Amir's been in the tournament before. I don't know if he was hurt that year before last. But so I think it's a good matchup. I'm going to go with the Gophers just because it's the Gophers. I don't really have a reason. I think it's pretty well a good matchup for both teams. And, you know, Matino's got a week here to prepare. So does Louisville. Well, not a week, but 4 days. That's good enough. So, yeah, it'll be a really interesting game to watch.
Yeah, and I'm glad that you added that. That was pretty much the addition that I forgot. You know, I mean, Des Moines, we know it's not a long drive. And so I expect, you know, them to come out in waves. I really feel like they're going to get down there, and that'll help. So I'm with you, too. I think the Gophers will win. One, because they're going to have the home feel. Well, I shouldn't say that because Louisville travels, dude. But at least we'll be there, you know what I mean, in the building a little bit, or more than a little bit, I think. And then also, we've been hot, man. We've been hot. We're not intimidated. We're coming at you. I like their chances, too. I'm going with them as well. Call us homers all you want. Maybe we're just happy, man. Can we be happy? Is that okay? I mean, the damn show's called Living in Loserville. Is that good enough? Can we be happy sometimes? No, but okay. So this isn't going to be a long segment for the Timberwolves. We're going to get the hell out of here pretty quick. So here we are. Washington, New York, home games, got the W. Go on the road against playoff teams, didn't get the W. When you look at these games and how they went, the score looks like there's no way we could have won a 120 to 100, 133 to 107. It looks like they were just blowouts. Like we were just out of it from the start. And you know, I guess back in the day when all we had is the newspaper and the box score, you'd probably be like, man, that sucked. But if you look at the game itself, it was, I mean, sure, the fourth quarter, we didn't come in tied or anything like that, but no, man, we weren't like way out of the game whatsoever. You know, we were within striking range with both games in a sense. I mean, the Denver game, I thought it was kind of played a little tighter, but then they just opened it up on us. And we've seen that time and time again, especially either on the road or against a good team. And that's the backbreaker. That is the backbreaker. But yeah, fourth quarter, both those games, by the time they got to the fourth quarter, it would have taken some work to get back into it. But as far as just the style of these games, it just, I know we're shorthanded and it's like, oh, Teague's back. No, he's not. Rowe's back. No, he's not. So that obviously plays into it. Another, 8 days go by, still no Covington. Might as well just rest him the rest of the year with no point in bringing him back now. If it's been this serious where he hasn't played it in 2019, then I don't think he should play. Right now we're about to tip here with Houston, and Harden was a game-time decision. But you know what? They have Chris Paul. They have other players, and it's on the road. So – it is a primetime game. So really, long story short, it's the same old story. Cat is still just been crazy lately. He's nearing 25 points. His assist numbers have gone up. The steal numbers have gone up. He's nearing 2 blocks. It's just been wonderful to get this bully thing going and not always getting bullied. So you gotta be happy with him, overall anyway. But I think the biggest thing, like positive thing is the rookie getting some run in the starting lineup. And it's like, wait a second. That's right. We got this Diop dude. Oh, by the way, he was the Big Ten Player of the Year last year. And nowadays, a lot of people like to talk about usage and a lot of, you know, a role player. We're looking for role players to get around Cat. He's long and lanky. He'll get you boards. He can shoot the three. I think it'll just improve as he goes. He could do those little tip-ins. He may be a little bit stiffer than a guy like Wiggins or something like that, but he's a long, lanky dude. You know, against Washington, 12-5. Against the Knicks, 18-6. Even that Denver game, 9 points, 5 boards, and 4 assists. This is something I was, and I think his first start, he had 8 points, 5 boards. I wasn't expecting him to really get the run, and it just so happens with Wiggins with the contusion, or maybe it's just, oh, you don't feel good. Okay, we're going to sit you for 3 games, you know, because they're just trying to maybe get some youth in there. And also, you know, why not gain an extra spot, you know, in the draft? So when he's gotten in, he's shown a little life. And we've talked about this a couple episodes, is the improvement within is how we're really going to improve as a team next year and in the following years for the Timberwolves.
Yeah, I think, you know, I've been kind of looking for Bates Diop all season. And it seems like, you know, he started the season with Tibbs, and Tibbs kind of relegated him down to the G League, and then he just kind of stuck there. I was kind of wondering where he went. I knew he was a decent player. I didn't watch him a lot at Ohio State, but I kind of saw some highlights around draft time. I thought, you know, he's definitely an interesting player. So I was wondering where he went. And I don't know well he did down in the G League, but it's good to see him up here and, you know, contributing. I think you're right about the role player aspect. It's nice to have maybe some younger legs. I know he's not 19 or anything like that, but, you know, he's in his early 20s, and he's got fresh legs and a good role player. Seems like he can work around the basket pretty well. He's got good length, can run all right. So it's good to see that. And there's a lot of questions about why Okogie played and not Diop. And I just think it's good to have them both up here right now. And improving within is something that's really going to have to happen. I don't know exactly what we're going to do about Wig in the offseason. You don't know exactly what's going to happen at all in the offseason, whether we get a new coach, whether we keep this one, whether we get a new GM, whether we keep this one, you know, whether we keep Wig, whether we get rid of him, is Cat going to stay? All these different things up in the air, so it's good to have at least a couple young players that you can maybe add another one with this year's draft and start to build maybe a little bit of depth for the older guys we have, like Gibson. He's getting up there. It'll be weird to see if he comes back again. Covington, like you said, has been out, and at this point, you're right, you might as well just keep him out for the season. Is he going to be back next year? Is it something internal? We don't exactly know exactly what's going on with that situation. So it's all kind of up in the air, and on the court it seems to be the same thing, game by game, losing to some bad teams, beating some bad teams, losing to the good teams, can't win on the road. It's the same story over and over.
That's about it, man. I mean, that is about it. So there's not much more to cover on the Timberwolves side of things, that's for sure. Anything else that you want to talk about just in general, or something on your mind, or something you forgot to bring up or anything like that before we shut this puppy down?
Well, I think I had a quick thought about – now, back to the Gophers in Louisville, as we were talking about that matchup. You know, this is what the new coach at Louisville is, his first year, so that would mean that these are Pitino's players, correct? And his recruits on this team, which could give us a scouting advantage going into that game. Phone call to Rick Pitino about the different players on his squad that he had last year might give us a little bit of an edge going into that. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I could see that being an edge. I do think, I mean, some of them transferred straight up, though, and as far as, like, freshmen – most of the guys dropped out of the class that he had recruited. So, yes and no. But, yeah, I mean, I think that would work. You know who's going to be courtside. You know who's going to be right behind the bench. You know what I mean? You know damn straight. Can he be by his old team? Is there like a – he can't be within 100 feet from Louisville team or anything like that? Is there some sort of crime that he committed that the courts don't allow him in the building? Because that'd be bullshit if that's the case. But no, I think you make a good point there. Actually, yeah, I could see that. I could see that being an advantage. Oh, we're winning this game. Connection. It's in Iowa, so we can get down there, and we're hot. We might as well just. I mean, what time would we play on Saturday for Michigan State? Should we just start previewing that game too? I think we should, man. We got this thing in the bag. No, I'm just kidding. You know, and I know better than that. But yeah, that would help. Why not? I think that would help a little bit. I don't see why it couldn't. So yeah, that about wraps it up. Real quick before we get out of here, if you're thinking about cutting the cord or you have cut the cord, welcome to the club. I cut it back in August. I took about a month or so to figure out what the hell I was going to do. I tried Hulu Plus Cable. I tried YouTube. I tried Sling. And I ended up on DirecTV Now. Now, I did the DirecTV Satellite for a long, long time, well over a decade. And I had moved to DirecTV Satellite because they were kind of sports-oriented. And also, my Comcast bill was – I was just looking at it like, what the hell is this? I'm going to Satellite. Then it started turning out to look at my Satellite bill and said, what the hell is this? And so I decided to cut it. I decided to cut it, and DirecTV Now is the best out of the ones I tried. This is true. This is not just an ad. This is true. Even the last 7-8 months since I've had it, I've seen the improvements. And obviously, no matter what streaming service you have or you're going to choose or whatever, the technology still has a little ways to go, obviously. But like I said, they have the cloud DVR. You know, they have packages that start at 45, 55, 65, 75. They have a Spanish package as well. And, by the way, DirecTV Now, go for it, right? But if you're an AT&T customer, which I have been since my second cell phone, you can lock in those $45, $55, $65, $75 prices right now. If you're an AT&T for 2 years, and you got to go quick because you know how this stuff goes. It's actually about to run out. Like this, I don't know if it's next week. I think it's next week is the last ad I'm going to run on this one. So you got to get it now. Otherwise, you know, the prices go up after a while. Inflation is a mother effort. So check it out. See what you like. You know, you could have the mid-level 55 or 65. You could still do your Amazon or your Netflix or HBO Showtime, and you're still saving $50-$100 a month. So check it out. DirecTV Now, if you're thinking about cutting the cord or you have and you don't like Sling or whatever the hell it is that you tried, give it a try. Obviously, no matter what streaming service it is, the quality of internet does make a big difference as well, just to throw that out there. Anyway, we're going to get out of here. We'll be back, hopefully, talking about a victory for our boys. It'll probably be next Friday. Is that a possibility? Because that would give us a coming off a game and then previewing a game for Saturday. Maybe we'll try to get back Friday, maybe regardless if they win or lose, just try to do a show then. We're going to get it figured out, but, you know, good luck to the Gophers. We're happy they made the tournament. Now, that's two out of the last 3 years, and we all know our top six players, three of them were out last year. One of them who's a pretty, you know, a solid role player in McBrayer couldn't practice. So we were a tourney team last year. I mean, if we just lose one to injury and lose one of those guys half the year and he comes back, we're in the tourney. We're in the tourney. So I'm not saying, oh, we've been in the tournament three straight years, but in theory, we kind of, you know, I'm looking at it from the perspective of I'm glad we can stick with Pitino now because it's basically 3 years in a row, or at least the team was built to make a little bit of a run last year too, I thought, after being the fifth seed and ending, fourth in the Big Ten, so the previous year. So that's a good thing. You know, a lot of things are unsettled when it comes to the Timberwolves, but we're settled in now, and, you know, let's go Gophers, and this can only help. Getting to the tournament close, knowing Murphy is gone, this can only help a big to step into a role for next year, which is obviously what we're going to need to because we're going to add guards that are on the team. So anyway, let's get out of here. Enjoy the rest of the night. Enjoy the rest of the week until Thursday comes around. You may get jittery. 11:15, we're right off the charts right away. We may be the first game of the Thursday. I'm not really sure. 11:15, actually, I think we are. Something like that. But anyway, go Gophers. Beat those Louisville cheaters. Well, actually, I suppose we can't really call them cheaters because, you know, we got a nice little pass of that, too. Anyway, we're out of here. Enjoy the game. Enjoy this week, man. Living in Loserville, we're not Loservilles. We're not losers this week. Until next time, peace.
Once you become the world champion, I believe that you feel you have the upper hand. So now, as you fight, let's say you fight 4 or 5 years of straight survival, the bullshit, the whole bag, and when you become the world champion, you're like, you know what, I made it.